Hey, you're listening to Aggie Sports Radio. I'm Logan Jones. It's been a while since I've been on the air, and I'm joined by a new partner today. You want to introduce yourself?
I am the sports page. This is Aggie Radio Sports today. Aggie Radio for the students, by the students. It's Tuesday, 9:09 a.m., and today we're going to start with Aggie Sports and what happened this weekend.
So I guess we should start with the football game?
Yes, painfully. Let's start with the football game. Let's get it out of the way at first. So, we saw 2 weeks ago the Boise State game. That was wonderful. But it looks like, you know, it was the exact opposite for us this weekend. For San Diego State.
The football gods are cruel this year.
Well, you know, we were talking about it last Thursday on the air that the Boise State game could do really good things for us or really bad things for us. It could either be that we have great momentum going into this game and it just carries us through and we have the good attitude about it. Sad to say, I think it did the opposite. I think there might have been a little bit of overconfidence, maybe not as much focus as we needed, because that was brutal.
Yeah, the Boise game was maybe the most fun I've ever had at like a live football game.
Mm-hmm.
San Diego was the opposite in every way. I think we lost every phase of that game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, special teams was bad, offensive line was bad, D-line was bad. They should all feel bad. Like,
yeah. Oh, it's heartbreaking. And I think, honestly, I didn't want to face it last week when we were talking about the Boise State game, but a lot of that was us capitalizing on not so great Boise State football. And I think that because there wasn't a ton of awesome, which, I mean, there was a lot of it, but not a ton of awesome Aggie football in that game. That's why this weekend we didn't see much of a continuation of that. Yep. You mentioned the drive chart that we're looking at here. For San Diego State.
Yeah, it's bad.
In the first quarter, it was punt, touchdown, field goal, touchdown. And it's just sad to look at, sad to talk about, but since we're a sports show,
well,
I guess we can.
It was weird. It's weird that, like, even when we were playing not so great at the start of the season, we were like, well, at least our defense is still good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we still got the run defense going for us. So as long as we figure it out on offense, we'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then that just disappeared. It was all, like, I don't know if it was a lack of mental preparation. I don't know if just injuries are hurting us that much on defense. Or, maybe it really, like, was just all of our worst fear. And, like, we really did just sleep on San Diego because we thought they weren't that good. But they're now 4-0 in conference.
Yeah.
So.
You bring up a really good point. I remember watching that against Southern Utah when we played them the very first game, thinking, well, our defense got it, at least. At least our defense is carrying us through this game. And there was a little bit of hope in that, you know, knowing that our defense had us, so as long as we did the improvements we needed. Then Kent Myers comes in, showing up really, really well for the games he played, and I think we had a lot of hope and a lot of excitement for Aggie football. And this game just, I'm not going to say it crushed all my hopes, because that's not a true sports fan, but there's a lot about it that makes me wonder how much we actually had, you know, and how much we have going for us.
Yeah, you know, if anything, there's a positive to come out of this, which is at least the distraction of, like I know I was at least talking about, like, maybe a New Year's Bowl, maybe a ranking at the end of the season,
mm-hmm.
like a lot of that type of talk. That's pretty much shot now. That's gone. That's out. So Mountain West title still within reach. A decent bowl game still within reach, but any of that talk of being on the national scene is just kind of like, yeah, maybe next season.
Mm-hmm. And there was so much talk about that. I heard that they were planning trips. There was all these things going down. But, you know, maybe that will be a good thing for us, kind of slice of humble pie for the team and, well, the fans too. I know that we feel that way.
If anything, it puts to rest all of the Wells to USC coaching rumors, which were a little ridiculous and should never have happened. But at least, like, that week was fun. We had fun.
Mm-hmm.
But that's gone now.
We relished in our victory. We definitely did. And I think maybe that's the problem. Maybe there was too much of that on the team even, and not enough preparation for what was ahead.
Yeah. I was wondering, and I wrote about this earlier in the week, I was wondering if maybe, like, as physically gifted as this team is, if it's maybe one of the mentally weaker teams I've ever seen us field.
Mm-hmm.
because like the SUU game was a good example. Like we should have at any point taken control of the Southern Utah game and just put them away.
Mm-hmm.
And never really did it because guys were griping on the sideline and people were throwing helmets and mm-hmm. and just kind of getting at each other for not playing well. And then even at the end of the game, like it took a special teams miracle to get us a win over Southern Utah.
Which should never have happened. It should have never been in that place.
But we gave ourselves a chance to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
And against SCSU, by the end of the first quarter, it was like we didn't even put ourselves in a position to get back in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like we just kind of, I don't know. It doesn't do justice to the players to say that they gave up, but I don't think they played. Not just they didn't play well, but they didn't play with any sort of confidence. Or mm-hmm. I mean, we just pasted Boise the week before, and they played like they hadn't won a game all season.
Mm. You know, I also like what you said about the mental part of it, how mentally stable our team might be. Because I was really proud of Kent for coming in, and regardless of all the pressures and all the, you know, everything that he was coming in against, he seemed to show up really well. And just have the right mind for it and be able to, you know, get things done for us. But you hear about at practice that, you know, there's quarrels between the players and things like that. And like you said, on the sidelines at our very first game, it's just, that's so much a part of football and all sports, but so much a part of football, the mental part of it and being able to keep your head in the right spot. And I haven't seen much of that from the rest of our team, being able to stabilize.
I don't know what Kent did to tick off the O-line, but he needs to make up with them real quick, because I felt like a lot of that game went downhill as soon as San Diego started putting hits on Myers, especially two of the fumbles in our own territory that gave him basically just free points.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird because the O-line was such a concern at the beginning of the season and then progressed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like after the bye week, they looked good. Against Boise, they looked really good. Like our running game was working. We were in rhythm. And then San Diego State, like they're not the first physical team we've played, but they just looked like they were bullying us out there. It was embarrassing. Mm. So, yeah, just not being able to get any sort of running game going, and Myers getting hit a lot early and just not really even be able to settle into a game plan. That's a recipe for disaster. So,
and that rhythm of it's such a huge deal, especially with a team that may not be as mentally stable as we were saying.
Right.
And when it happens so early in the game, the mental capacity to be able to get back in the game is what you need. And I don't know if we have much of that. And I think it's something that can be developed. I mean, I support our Aggies till the end, but it's going to be rough. I think it's going to be a rough getting back from one.
It's sports. Like, you don't get to lead wire to wire every game. And, like, I think that's what we expected was, hey, it's San Diego. Like, we're going to take care of business. But, like, sometimes you have to fight yourself back into a game. And against San Diego, I think we could have done that. We're a better team than they are.
Mm-hmm.
I still believe that. But the will just wasn't there, or, I don't know, one thing goes wrong and it just kind of sets off a chain reaction.
Mm-hmm.
But one way or another, we just, I don't know. I hesitate when I want to accuse teams of giving up, because I don't think that's entirely what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But there were elements of that that happened in that game.
Maybe it's not so much giving up as it is just not showing up to the game in the first place. Which, I don't know. I don't know, Aggies. But this week we play Wyoming.
Yeah.
And hopefully it'll be a game that, you know, gets us back on track. So
this is dangerous to say, because we've just talked about the mental lapse that we had against San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
But we should just beat down Wyoming. Like, Coach Wells did what every good coach should do and talked them up and said, hey, they're a tough opponent. They play the same offensive style as San Diego. We can't sleep on them. And it's true, we can't sleep on anybody, but we should just take Wyoming to the woodshed. They're a bad football team. And is that okay? Is that fair? Like,
well, fair to them, I don't know, but I don't know if any of them are listening, so.
I was in Laramie for the game last year. It was a fun game to watch. They battled us okay. It wasn't just a complete romp by our team, but there is no reason that we should be in any danger to lose to Wyoming this
mm-hmm.
week. And I fear saying that, because I can feel the players thinking the exact same thing, and
mm-hmm.
they can't. Because we just did that last week and got home.
I feel that's what we did with Southern Utah as well at the very beginning in the season. So I guess as fans, we can think that. We can come in with the most confidence, and hopefully the boys on the team will think a bit more highly of Wyoming and prepare against them the way they should, like any good football team would.
I think against a team like Wyoming, I don't really necessarily want our football team going into it thinking, this is a great opponent, we need to play them tough. I think they should go into it thinking, we should pound these guys. Mm-hmm. Like, they played with that kind of confidence against Boise, and Boise was supposed to be a much closer game. And
much.
They kind of took the field like, we're going to win this game unless you do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And look at how, you know, great things happened. Fun football was played. So we should go into Wyoming with some confidence, but mm-hmm. just, you know, you got to put in the work during the week to earn that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And I hope they are. So that game will be this Friday, October 30th at 8:15 p.m. up here, Utah State. So we'll be looking forward to that. Hopefully our boys will show up. I mean, it's not a bus ride to California this time, so maybe they'll all make the bus and they'll all get there to the field. I hope that we play this game like it's supposed to be played. You know, as if it's Utah State and Wyoming football, and
plus
Utah State football is better.
Like, it's for one of the best trophies in all of sports. Like, we fight for a rifle in this game. Like, we can't afford to let that go.
Come on. Like, we do it for the rifle, boys.
There's a photo from last year's game in Laramie of Zach Vigil pointing the rifle at something and pretending to shoot it. And it's one of my all-time favorite Aggie photos. It's hilarious. I love that guy. Zach Vigil's a funny dude.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to play like how that photo makes me feel. Like, we need to play like football's fun again mm-hmm. instead of
a funeral.
Treating it like work and not being very good at it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've dissected that game enough and our own feelings about it. This Friday, 8:15 p.m., like I said, we'll be playing Wyoming here at Utah State. And we're going to go in confident, like Logan said. In other Aggie sports this weekend, what happened, Logan?
Oh, geez. Well, our soccer team put up a good fight. They ended up losing 2-1. Who did they play? They played Wyoming. Oh, speaking of Wyoming. Mm-hmm. And that's tough. I feel like women's soccer doesn't get nearly enough credit at this university. Women's soccer is a blast.
Mm-hmm.
The team is hilarious. Like, we've got some characters on that team. We need to do some more. We need to show women's soccer some more love. Volleyball is having a rough season. I love volleyball. Everyone should go to the games in the Estes Center to get some home court advantage. But they are struggling. They lost in 3 sets to Colorado State here at home. There's really no shame in losing to Colorado State in volleyball. I don't know if we've beat Colorado State since I've been at this university. They're ranked every year. They're super good. But we need to support them anyway. They're about to go on a super long road trip, actually, and hopefully come home with some conference wins.
That's awesome. I would like that for our volleyball team. I think they need it. I think you're right. It's a sport to go out and support. But can we talk about women's soccer one more time?
Absolutely.
So you said they finished regular season, or no?
Women's soccer.
Is that what you said? No. Nope. I'm hearing things. So this Friday, at 3 p.m. they play Boise State. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
here that. That would be a good game to go out to.
So we talked about this actually before being on air today. We don't particularly enjoy hating on other schools on air too much, but I make an exception for Boise because there's just so many Boise fans at this university, and so like there's not like an official rivalry. Technically, our Mountain West rival is like Wyoming, just for the sake on paper, but we share a lot of students with Boise. I see Boise gear everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not everywhere, but often enough that it's worth noting.
Uh-huh.
So
often
any,
enough to
any
pee.
Sport we play Boise in, we need to take extra seriously. We need to take care of things here.
And I really like our girls' soccer team. I don't know if it's because, you know, knowing people on the team and having gone to high school with them and having a really prestigious high school team that they came from, but I'm a big fan of Utah State women's soccer, so... This Friday at 3 p.m., they'll be playing Boise State here. We should get out there and support them. Everybody, go out and support our girls' soccer team. And then the Mountain West Tournament starts next week, starting Tuesday. So, well, that should be awesome. I love the tournaments at the end of the season. I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of a tournament junkie.
And tournaments are great. Like, pretty much universal of all the sports here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Mountain West is a tight enough conference as far as talent goes that kind of anything can happen in the Mountain West tournament.
That's why I love them so much. Uh-huh. When it comes to the tournaments, it's kind of anybody's game. I mean, of course, leading up to it, there has to be the right things happening, but I'm just a fan of the fact that, I guess that's why I'm a sports fan, because anything can happen, you know, and it ain't over till it's over, as the dear Yogi Bear said.
Unless it's our football team against San Diego, in which case it's over in the first 50 minutes.
Touche. All right, what else is there in Aggie sports this weekend? Anything else?
Aggie basketball.
Oh!
Aggie basketball actually kicks off this weekend. Is that wild or what?
Oh my goodness, that's already here. Wow. Hello, October. Goodbye, October, yeah. I should be saying. It's crazy.
Oh, man. I'm pumped for basketball. That's not like a, I'm on Aggie Sports Radio and we're talking nice about all the sports. Like, nah. Aggie basketball is going to tear it up this year.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And, you know, it's so fun to be at a school where it's so fun to be a basketball fan. It's so fun to, like, be there. The environment alone is kind of addicting,
yeah,
to be there at the games and participate in that. Yeah. So they're opening this Saturday, Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's like Panhandle Oklahoma State? Panhandle. It's
okay.
I'll be honest. I, even in following all the sports I follow, I don't know if I've ever heard of them before.
Never have I heard of that.
And that's not a slight to them. I'm sure they're...
That's like Wagner.
I'm sure they're kidding.
But we'll talk about that later. Okay, so that is this Saturday, October 31st. I'm excited to see our boys play. I'm excited for it to be basketball season again, you know?
Yeah, and that's... I can enjoy football and basketball simultaneously, but I truly believe that at our heart, we're still a basketball school. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of people are going to say that flies in the face of all the things happening with football, but like, mm-hmm, at our core, I don't know. I think we're going dancing this year.
Well, all
I'm
right.
I'm just going to go out and just throw that bold prediction.
All right. I think you
room.
Should place that as a bet, and we'll keep an eye on that, because that is bold, but why not? That's Aggie basketball. All right. And then, you know, the following week we'll play Cal State Monterey Bay and Weber State, which is our neighbor.
If you think these all sound like kind of cupcake teams, keep in mind that I'm looking at Paige's computer right now, and I see on the schedule the Duke Blue Devil D on the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I am psyched for that game.
And that is on my birthday.
Oh.
So happy birthday to me. That will be Sunday, November 29th. We'll play Duke, which...
Well, maybe the stars will align on your birthday.
You know, the sports gods tend to like me, so...
You know what? Let me do this. Every year,
please do.
When you fill out your March Madness bracket, there's always, like, you check every team that you haven't really been following every year. You, mm-hmm, kind of just, like, check into the little, like, paragraph that some sports intern somewhere has written about the team. And every good team has either a loss in, like, early November, like, way back in the season to some nobody team, or a narrow victory over a team that the national media says like isn't very good. Every major team, you look at them and you're like, hey, this team could storm through the whole tournament, but wait, you know, they almost lost to this
Wagner.
Whoever team, yeah, Wagner earlier in the season. So, you know, be cautious.
Uh-huh.
There's one of those for every team.
Well, awesome. Let's be that for Duke.
We could be that nobody.
Let's be that nobody
Duke
for
University.
Duke
University.
All right, that would be beautiful. What a birthday present. Mom, I don't want anything else. That's all I want for my birthday. Okay. Yeah, and you're right. The rest of the season, I mean, there are a few, I guess,
other teams in there. Later. It's going to be a busy few games.
That is. It's funny how getting into November and December, they seem like, you know, real teams that we've heard of before. And the other ones, maybe not so much, but if it's going to get us some... A way to get up to those games, you know, and prepare for that. Is this you?
No,
oh, we're gonna play Utah.
We
Valley.
Were just thinking the same thing. We're
looking
at this
one.
This big red, uh-huh, U on the laptop, and we were like, "Wait a second, we play Utah at home?" No. That's Union. That's
Union, which is in Tennessee, I guess. So, Aggie basketball. We're excited about that.
Oh, it's gonna be great.
And it's gonna be a really great season, I think, too. I may be biased because it's my first one back for a while, and but either way, I'm excited, and I think we all should be. I think that'd be good for our team. Right now, let's take a music break, and we'll be back to talk more about Aggie sports and what's going on in the national news media as well.
Yeah, we'll be back in a few minutes.
Maybe soon you'll learn to love me, and maybe soon you'll learn. With the tall grass growing around you.
Welcome back to Aggie Radio. I'm Logan Jones.
And this is The Sports Page. Yeah, we're going to start with some, start back with some MLB. Both of us are baseball fans in the studio. Not much different from last time I was in the studio with two baseball haters. It's October, so of course we're going to talk about this.
Absolutely.
The Mets and the Royals start off the World Series tonight. And We were just talking about this while we were off the air, that it's kind of a weird dynamic as baseball fans. You know, it's October, so we're here, we're watching, we're supporting. But I just really, I'm a Yankees fan, so I feel that technically I shouldn't be cheering for the Mets. But I just, for some reason, really don't want to be a Royals fan. I really don't want to cheer for them in the World Series.
Yeah, you know, last year it would have been fun. Last year the Royals were kind of the new kid on the block, and they were all, like, surprised at how good their team was.
As everybody must have been.
It was a little more entertaining. This year they kind of went all Oregon Ducks on themselves and are like, what are you talking about? We've always been this good. Like, no, we've existed since before 2009. Like no, you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a little, they feel like they deserve it. And plus, could you imagine, well, you're a Yankees fan, some of you could, like being a Mets fan, like in New York must be like so difficult because like every 9 out of 10 people you meet are probably Yankees
uh-huh.
fans. And you're just like, actually, I like the Mets. And they probably just like, oh, that's cute.
Uh huh.
So
for real, you know, and it gives you a tiny little perspective of how David Wright must feel. He's been with this ball club for a really long time. And I think, you know, as much as the proud Yankee inside of me doesn't really love saying it, I feel like this club deserves it, you know, and they've worked for it, and it's been a long way. And they seem to me kind of like the underdog, the one that's been working for it for
maybe,
a really long time.
Not
maybe not as
well respected
mm-hmm.
during the season, which I always, like the Royals, during like the whole All-Star voting thing, they had like every one of their players in the, like in the lead of All-Star voting because
mm-hmm.
their fans are all super on board now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll use my own team as an example, but they went from like just kind of being like, yeah, we're not very good, to like full Seattle Seahawks, like what, no, we've always been really hardcore. We've always been hardcore, like,
Which we know they're not, they haven't been, but I mean, you've got to give them credit for loving their team enough to fool themselves into that. But
I'm on the Mets wagon.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the Blue Jays wagon.
Me too.
Actually, originally I was just on the not the Cardinals wagon. And then the Cubs won, and I was like, all right, I don't really want to see the Cubs win either, but not the Cardinals is always a win for me, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was hoping for the Blue Jays, too. And that was part of me just wanting it to be, you know, like up to game 7,
yeah.
And I thought that would be really great. Hopefully these will be just really good games.
Yeah.
In the World Series. I'm always disappointed when it's over in 3 or 4, because.
World Series baseball's the best. Like you.
Did I just say 3 or 4?
Yeah.
I meant. 4.
Yeah, no, I got you. If it's over in 3, there's a disaster happening. There's going to be all sorts of sports records.
Yes.
I saw on Twitter today, today's the anniversary of both teams' last World Series win.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
They both won in game 7s. So.
All right.
If the baseball gods smile upon us. We will have a 7-game World Series.
Oh, that would be beautiful.
One of those where you like hang on every pitch.
That's like, what it should be.
You're so invested.
Mm-hmm. That's what it should be, because then it doesn't matter who you're cheering for. You're involved in that game if you're a baseball fan, which is why I love the sport so much. That's why I think it is the greatest thing to happen in America.
We're gonna have to pull the Statesman sports editor Kaylin Taylor on air sometime.
Mm-hmm.
He can't stand baseball.
Oh,
he likes soccer, but he can't stand baseball. So yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, the other two guys, Connor and Eddie, who I was with last Thursday, they don't like it either. You know, they talk about their little league glory days, and that's about it. So,
gosh, you want to know what's wrong with this country? You can look right there. We're not gonna get political here, but that's just depressing.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. So, 8 p.m. Eastern time is game 1 tonight. Mets and Royals. Go Mets.
Yeah.
I think they deserve it. Can we talk about Daniel Murphy for 2 seconds?
Yes.
I think that's great that he's come out of pretty much nowhere and everybody's talking about him. You know, I read this article on ESPN that people are starting to almost worship him and put him, you know, and his teammates are saying they get to tell their grandkids they played with Babe Ruth. Just, it's going crazy. And I think that's awesome. I think it's really cool that he's getting all that publicity for being such an amazing postseason hitter.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's what baseball fans do, though. They kind of just go really, really crazy with one thing, and that's all right. I like that. That's why I like baseball so much. And the Mets will be starting Matt Harvey on the mound, and the Royals, Edinson Volquez. So.
Good one.
That's there's that. Point. And I think I'm really, really hoping for a good series. Just. To 7 games, and I'll be proud. I'll be a proud baseball fan. In other national sports news, can we talk about this? Because it's National Domestic Violence Month.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys bring out this, and the other day they bring out all this anti-domestic violence stuff. While on the sidelines, Greg Hardy is misbehaving, if we can say that. And I don't know, they're taking it a lot of different ways in the sports, you know, in the news category of it. But the fact is, they're talking about anti-violence in our homes. And because Greg Hardy's a good player, they're not saying much about his violent or aggressive, if we want to say, acts on the sidelines. But he comes out and smashes the clipboard out of the special teams coordinator's hands, and the special teams coordinator has to, you know, grab him by his chest pads and push him out of the huddle so that he can get his point across for the team. And I just, it seems a little bit childish to me. It seems a little bit like the Cowboys are just trying to, you know, make not as big of a deal for it. If domestic violence, if the problem is that, you know, things are getting swept under the rug and not looked at, then it's pretty ironic that that's also what they're doing for this player, as they're claiming to, yeah, you know, be against that.
Yeah, well, even signing him in the first place, I don't know of a lot of Cowboys fans that were super psyched to get, I mean, you always enjoy when you get a good player and just kind of hope to look over anything that's happened in the past and be like, well, that didn't happen when he was a Cowboy, so, you know, maybe. But you know what? The Panthers are undefeated and couldn't be happier that they got rid of that dude. And when a team is glad they got rid of somebody, that should tell you something about, you know, you should take that with caution. Not necessarily in fairness. It wasn't fair to the special teams coach. The Cowboys lost their fourth straight game because of special teams. And if this was some other player that didn't have this history, that had exploded on the sideline and slapped the clipboard out of the special team coach's hands, I'm sure it'd get played on a vine a few million times, but we wouldn't talk about it past about Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, so obviously he's got an extra target on his back for being just kind of a general jerk, but... Yeah, I mean, did you watch that game? I mean, they gave up a 100-yard kick return right after tying the game, and then muffed a punt return to basically seal it. Mm-hmm. So special teams had the two biggest plays of the game in the worst possible way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, I think the part of me, I guess this is probably the feminist inside of me, that's just, you know, more than what actually happened in the game or what his record is like, the ethics of it, I guess, just the fact that he's doing things like that, and they have so many statements coming out, it almost seems like they're overdoing it and trying to justify what he's doing.
Yeah.
And you know, just different responses that I'm reading here on ESPN, you know, it's a passionate player, you want that on the field, you want him to be able to get people excited, which is understandable, the emotion behind the game. Hello, we were just talking about the mental aspect of football.
But do people have a problem with Dez Bryant being emotional? No, because we know that about him, and he's in control of his personal life. So, but when a guy's just out of control in general, like when it happens on the field for millions of people to see, it's like, dude, you're out of control, and your whole organization is trying to be like, hey, that's bad.
Yeah. And, you know, probably the biggest part of it is just that news media has a love for bringing up irony and the fact that they're talking about domestic violence, and then this guy's doing this, and it wasn't specifically at that game, as you said, he has a record of that. Earlier you told me he's a classified jerk, so that makes sense, and I guess it's selective media, but to bring it into light, I guess it's good to be thinking about the fact that it's Domestic Violence Month. I'm going to bring that one out there because I think it deserves to be recognized. I'm glad that they tried to do something about it. I feel like possibly their efforts in bringing awareness to that may have been diminished, but that's all right because it's getting a lot of attention elsewhere. Something else that's getting a lot of attention, especially from Utahns. Goodbye, Energy Solutions Arena, and hello, Vivint Smart Home Arena.
Congrats, you found literally the only stadium name worse than Energy Solutions Arena.
Yes, can we give a round of applause for that one?
I didn't think it was possible, and you did it. So good for you.
Mm-hmm. And because I love this, and my sister brought it to my attention yesterday, let's start a new trend. Trending on Twitter Tuesday, all right?
There we go.
So trending on Twitter is hashtag better than Vivint Arena. Share with us some of your favorite. One that I saw that really hit me at home is Netflix and Chill Arena.
I enjoyed Tinder Arena. and Snapback Arena. Hashtag better than Vivint Arena.
Provo girls paid $100 for Howl Tickets Arena. Honor Code Violation Arena.
Someone said the team is going to come out on their season opener and be wearing bro tanks and salmon shorts. Which, I don't know if I've ever heard a more accurate, I love that Twitter's having fun with it, but seriously, for the next 10, I think it's a 10-year deal, it's not even, like, if they named it the Vivint Center, we could still all make fun of it for being Vivint, because Vivint. But at least that rolls off the tongue a little. Mm-hmm. You know, like, Vivint Center is like, all right, mm-hmm. Eventually it just kind of loses meaning, and it just, you know, it's like the Delta Center of old. Like, you just kind of don't think about it. But the Vivint Smart Home Arena is the worst way they could have... it's the worst thing they could have done.
Uh-huh, and I think... I'm glad you brought up the Delta Center, because I remember being a little girl, and we'd go there, and it was like I was going to Disneyland. Like, the Delta Center. It just had something, because I could remember that as a little girl. It was little... You know, little words that, I don't, as simple as that sounds, but Vivint Smart Home Arena. What little kid is going to dream about going there? Like, Utah Jazz, let's do something for a fan base. I don't know. And I am loving these trends. Snapback Arena.
Yeah, I wonder if the halftime entertainment is just going to be like the game ops guy with a microphone telling everyone about an exciting summer opportunity.
Oh, man.
And, like, how he paid for his truck by working last summer.
Oh, man. Yeah, here's another good one. The 20-year-old white girl with an independent wedding photography business center. That one definitely doesn't roll off the tongue, but even that.
That's our
even
winner.
Even that.
That's our winner right there.
And the modest is hottest arena.
The 1984 BYU football team arena.
Oh, man. I think my number one still is Netflix and Chill Arena, because... That's hilarious. That is equally as disrespectful, I think.
I saw someone suggest the Shasta Center, which, and I don't know if Shasta is based in Utah. I'm guessing that that's where this comes from. But that actually sounds great. That sounds like the Pepsi Center. Like, the Shasta Center, first of all, the free giveaways would be awesome.
Way more awesome than anything.
But that's something that you could think, like, oh, you know, make it iconic. Especially, you know, the Jazz as a team are getting better and better. They're probably hoping for a playoff spot this year. If you rename the stadium right when you're getting good, you can make it like an iconic thing, like on the landscape of the league. Like, this is kind of drawing from my Oregon roots here, but for the longest time, my childhood, the Portland played in the Rose Garden.
Oh.
Until just a few years ago, they played in the Rose Garden.
Mm-hmm.
And Moda Health bought the naming rights, and now it's the Moda Center. And it doesn't sound terrible, but it's just not the Rose Garden.
Yeah.
So first of all, everyone there calls it the Rose Garden still. Everyone knows it's Rose. It's still on Rose Quarter. Like, no one really calls it the Moda Center. But when you're watching on TV and the broadcasters have to say it, it doesn't sound dumb. Like, they just say the Moda Center and it's on Rose Quarter, and they still use the insignia, and they're really respectful of, like, Portland area residents.
Mm-hmm.
This one, like, how do you welcome people? Like welcome to the Vivint Smart Home Arena, home of your Utah Jazz. Like,
can't you just see, like, that zoom in? Because I don't know how much Jazz basketball you've watched, but they always zoom in and they show the city, you know, and then it comes in on all the lights and everything. And I remember the first time watching when it was, like, the Energy Solutions Arena. And there was a little bit of disenchantment.
Yeah.
But, you know, you grow to be okay with it. And at least Energy Solutions sounds like it's doing something good for the environment.
Right.
But Vivint Smart Home Arena, like, I just imagine, like, mwah, 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 playing in the background as they zoom into the
They're going
to
use that stock helicopter shot of the Salt Lake City Temple.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to be like, we'll be back to the Vivint Smart Home Arena after these messages. And you're going to be like, wait,
it's
what? It
leaves a weird taste in your mouth, doesn't it? Yeah, well, Twitter, thank you for these beautiful, beautiful suggestions that I think are a lot better than...
Nickelback Arena. Oh, they're pulling out all the stops.
Oh, man. Yeah. This is why I love Twitter. So what's your number one of all of these? The winning.
I'm actually going to go the non-joking route and say that they should absolutely look into the Shasta Center when this 10-year deal is up. Because I want free tiki punch at Jazz games. That's important to me.
All right, well, I think they should make note of that in the next 10 years. Look for that. Netflix and Chill or Tinder Arena, I think, my favorite tweets that I've seen this morning.
They could call it the Tinder Box. It would be awesome.
There it is.
I don't know if...
Look into that, please.
Trouble for this, but my friend Brad Ferguson, like, as the news broke, texted me and he's like, we got to nickname it the Toolbox. that's going to be the new nickname for the Jazz. And I was like,
Yeah. It's hard to want to go to a Jazz game right now. And so
it makes me sad because all the players on the team are so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they had like a team full of, you know, guys like the early 2000s Blazers that are all just kind of like morons, you could just be like, oh, geez, you know, they play in the Vivint Center or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But like it's just like all these clean cut, nice guys that play for the Jazz now.
Yeah.
Like Gordon Hayward is the face of your franchise. Gordon Hayward plays in the Vivint Smart Home Arena.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's just, it's all right.
Jerry Sloan somewhere is just like, wow, I'm glad I never played the Vivint Smart Home Arena.
Yeah.
It is standard seat, they 19 rows up over in the corner. He's always there. You can go and see him at every single game in the Vivint Arena.
it doesn't even look good.
No, they're gonna incorporate more of that like orangey yellow into their uniforms over the years,
which is disgusting. It's disgusting, and it's yeah. All right, well, drop the smart home. That's stupid. Oh, that's funny. There's a lot of people that are just tweeting at the Utah Jazz right now. But if I read it correctly, they open this Wednesday in Detroit, so that one's not at the Vivint Smart Home Arena, and I guess we don't have to hold that against them for their first game. I'm excited to see where the Utah Jazz go this season. As of right now, I rather have 15 players on their roster, so we'll see where that goes. Yeah, Utah Jazz. That's just Vivint Smart Home Arena. I was very appreciative of your comment earlier about going to the snack bar at a game and being told about a great summer opportunity.
Here's the real test. Because Energy Solutions Arena is bad. And I said earlier that I didn't think it could be beat. But that's actually a lie because there is one in the NBA that's worse. And it's the Pelicans. New Orleans Pelicans play in the Smoothie King Arena.
Oh.
And is it worse than the Smoothie King Arena?
Well, I don't know much about Smoothie King and like the culture behind it like I do Vivint. Maybe that's something we could ask the listeners.
The question that I have is, does the Smoothie King Arena give out smoothies?
Is there an actual king there?
I'm sure there's one in the building, because that's I don't know what Vivint can really do as far as like game experience giveaways.
Mm-hmm.
Although they got tons of money, so maybe they just throw out straight cash.
Which would be wonderful. Yeah, if that's the case, I take back everything I said.
I completely rescind everything said in this segment if in the home opener they just throw out basketballs filled with money.
Yeah.
Like,
uh-huh.
Vivint marketers, are you listening to this show? I will fully support
Vivint Smart Home Arena. All you Vivint marketers who tuned in this morning to listen to.
If you
want to
get social media immediately back on your side, because they are decidedly not right now, go ahead and just give out cash at your basketball games.
Yeah, please.
And just have security on hand.
And we'll take back everything we said, and we'll say really, really good things about Vivint Smart Home Arena for the rest of time. All right, let's go to another song break. We don't have a lot more time left, but let's go to a song break, and we'll be back to you end the show. Thanks for listening. This is Aggie Radio for the students, by the students.
You know,
craft. She's Miss Been There, Did That. Bought the cat suit. I used to raise in the roof and telling the truth. I thought I wasn't, but I was losing my mind. Oh, when she showed me how the night was supposed to sound, I realized that then whenever I shut my eyes, well, there she hovered, looking like $1 million in a briefcase or a duffel bag by high noon tomorrow. Just make sure you're not followed. And since you're such a stunner, send us something sunset colored. Let's make love to one another. Run for cover.
Welcome back to Sports Aggie Sports Radio. I'm still Logan Jones.
And I am still the sports page here. We don't have a lot of time, so we're going to give you the PTI version of what's happening in other Utah sports. Utah football, U of U. Sorry, guys. We're not going to hate. I will not allow that on my show, and it's not going to happen for U of U. It's not going to happen for BYU, but it's just, you know, Utah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that game.
We're all going to remember, like, those 4 weeks in 2015 where we were like, is Utah the best football team in the nation? And then we were, like, immediately proven, like, no.
Don't worry, not quite.
And it had to be to USC, like, a team that I actually have no qualms hating on because I'm from Oregon and can't stand USC. The early 2000s USC dynasty was, like everyone that's currently a Ducks fan was a USC fan in 2004. Like, that's just a fact. So, like, it had to come to a USC team when Utah was ranked third. Mm-hmm. Gosh dang it, Utah. Like, of all the games I wanted you to, like, lose this year, that was the one that I was like, all right, well, at least beat USC, and then you can go lose and ruin your whole season.
Mm-hmm. Well, there it was. And now the number three ranking is not there. And it's sad, you know. Being a sports fan in Utah, we were all happy to see one of our teams doing really well, even if we're not Utes fans or particularly there. And sorry, my heart goes out to you Utah fans, but, you know, hopefully it will not be as ugly the rest of the season. It was just, it was a sad one to watch. My heart was breaking, and I'm not even a Utes fan, but it's just one of those games.
You know what happened? It's probably my fault because all my teams are doing horrible this year, and I had just started to get, like, you know what? If Utah's going to be great, I may as well get behind them and be like, yeah, I'm not going to cheer for
them. Thank you for that, Logan.
But on the national scene, I was like, all right, it's fine if Utah does well. And right when I was starting to get sold on them, they just they went and did that. So,
well, why'd you have to do that, Logan?
We'll always have the game where you humbled all the Duck fans on my Facebook, though. And for that, I will always be grateful. Just crickets after that game. The Duck fans are loud on social media. Nothing since the Utah game.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, hopefully that's not like a trend. It just, you know, it was a sad game, kind of like for Utah State. Just a sad game, and we'll get back there. BYU football won.
Oh, blew out. And,
I mean, but I don't know how much you can count that, because there was actually 6 points scored on them by Wagner. Scored.
You know,
I don't know.
I get that they're being paid to play the game, but I still feel bad for Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Because they're not just like a nobody school playing BYU. Like, they're not even good when they're playing conference opponents. They're like 0-6.
They're all
headed into BYU game. Like, they're not even like a good FBS team.
Mm-hmm.
They're bad. Like, I don't know. Don't they have like 5,000 students at their school?
I have no idea.
Like, I wonder, I haven't seen any pictures of it, but I wonder how packed the Lavelle Edwards Stadium was on Saturday.
Yeah, I hear Wagner is great academically, so good job for that. I'm glad that it wasn't, I would have probably had a lot more to say about BYU football had it not have been as big of a blowout. Yeah. It should have been that game, and good thing that they showed up, because they would have gotten a lot of trash talk for not beating them as much as they did.
Even doing exactly what they were supposed to against Wagner, they blew the doors off them. It was like 70-6.
Yeah.
I'm still going to probably trash talk them a little bit because, you know, while we're going on the road to play Utah and Washington, they're playing Wagner at home and being like, you know, well, Wagner's really good. Like, I know you guys don't think so, but if you really look at them, they have quarterbacks and they've got safeties like Cal. Like,
oh, man. Yeah.
Remember when that was happening when BYU was like, Cincinnati is basically Cal. Because Utah was playing Cal that week, and they were trying to, like, be Utah. So but for the rest of the year, that's going to be my go-to. Mm-hmm. Like, whenever we're talking BYU, it'll just be like, well, I mean, Cal has a Heisman candidate, and Wagner has athletes. So they're basically Cal.
So, you know, there's similarities. All right. So Utah, our hearts go out to you. BYU. Way to not blow it. We're not going to hate, but yeah, way to not blow it against a team that was 0-6 when they started to play you. And the most important in Utah college football, like I said, the Aggies play this weekend, so get out there. Just to finish it off, because this is the best thing trending, the best thing that Logan pointed out to me on the break, Kirk Cousins. Why don't you give us a rundown of the background of this vine?
Okay, Kirk Cousins was captaining they were down 24-0 at the half, the Redskins were. Came back to win. It was the biggest in biggest franchise history comeback. They won 31-30 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are decidedly like the worst team in football this year. But the Redskins, a lot of teams were saying before the season started, were going to be that team, the worst team in the league. And now they're actually playing fairly mediocre football, which is better than we expected. And walking back towards the locker room points at the media. If you haven't seen this vine, it is glorious. I've watched it on loop like 20 times today alone. And he's walking back to the... She's playing it now on her laptop, and I can't keep it together. he's like a soft-spoken guy. There's an interview where he talks about how like he likes to keep an even keel, and he just loses it. He goes, "You like that? You like that?" a couple times at the Washington cameramen and media guys. And people are captioning it like when you get your first kill in Halo 5. My favorite one is when you make perfect scrambled eggs for your toddler.
Like, you like that. You like that.
We're going to find a way to get this soundbite on the air, and we're going to use it to introduce a segment like every week. We're going to talk to Cody, and we're going to get this on the air so you can be treated to it every week.
Yes, it's wonderful. And yes, Kirk Cousins, if you're wondering, we do like that. We do. If it was a question, the answer is yes. If it was command, we'll get on it. So funny. Thank you for listening today. This is Aggie Sports Radio.
So. say that. I think that does it for us.
You like that. You like that. Aggie Sports Radio. For the students, by the students. Have a great week.
SLC Concerts presents Against the Current. Wednesday, October 28th at the Music Garage. Tickets and other details can be found at saltlakecityconcerts.net or Amy Smith Ticks Outlet.